This is Audible.
The Art of Provocation by Josh Reynolds. Performed by John Banks, Jonathan Keeble, and Toby Longworth. There was a certain sound that the wolf claw made, and it pierced armored flesh. A fat, wet crackle as rune-edged metal talons entered the target, and the matter-disruptive energies took swift effect. It was almost like laughter. Lucas joined in, adding his own chuckle to the wolf claw's pop sizzle. The orc spasmed, grunting obscenities in its own rude tongue as it tried to throttle him. Greenskins never knew when they were beaten. Or so the Grey Pelts said when they were in their cups.
I've never found that to be the case myself. Just conventional wisdom taken as hard fact. You can know when you're beaten. You just don't like to admit it.
Lucas stared into the orc's glazing eyes.
But then, who does?
What was left of the Xenos crashed to the grating of the central control chamber to join the remains of its fellows. Lucas had left a trail of broken, green bodies stretching back to his entry point into the Vox relay station after being deposited on the outer hull by Stormfang gunship. The wailing of a structural alarm echoed through the chamber, and he could hear emergency bulkheads grinding into place as the station's autonomous systems acted to seal the breach. The vibrations resonated with the rhythmic pulse of the stasis bomb grafted in place of one of his hearts. He didn't know which. He'd never had occasion to find out. The station sat high in the atmosphere, far above the industrial world of Pollux Tertius, an atmospheric photon tether, tended by a crew of servitors and transmechanics, held it aloft at the center of an invisible web of communication signals. The orcs had a fascination for technology. Their mechs had intended to loot it for their own purposes, hijacking the planetary Voxnet even as Pollux Tertius burned. And Lucas the trickster, Lucas the laughing one, the Bane Wolf, had come to teach those greenskins the error of their ways. There were two orcs left. They squinted at him in the flickering haze. The chameleonic doppelgangrel pelt he wore over his power armor bent the light in odd ways, making his form indistinct and hard to focus on. To the greenskins, there might appear to be three of him, or something even more confusing. Lucas chuckled again.
Who's first?
The orcs eyed him warily. They glanced at one another. Then one gave a roar and barreled towards him, its crude axe raised.
Decisive. I like that.
Lucas slid forwards and caught the haft of the axe, his powered talons piercing the orc's chest. The greenskin slumped, and Lucas swept it aside.
And then there was one.
The last orc thudded towards him, snarling in fury. He couldn't fault the creature's courage.
No lack of bravery, but a distinct absence of brains.
He didn't rush to meet this one. No point when it was coming to him. He shot it in the head, vaporizing the skull with a liquid hiss. The orc's body kept coming, and Lucas stepped aside to let it stumble past, calling after.
Mind how you go!
It tripped over the remains of the others and tumbled to the deck. Lucas tutted, looking around.
I warned you.
The wall panels were daubed with crude glyphs and bloodstains. The air stank of cooked orc and other worse things. But then the greenskins had held the station for weeks now. It was bound to reek a little. Lucas didn't have much time. His arrival had not gone unnoticed. Between the trail of corpses and the alarm, he wouldn't be hard to find when reinforcements came looking. He was almost looking forward to that. Orcs weren't good for much, but killing them was an excellent way of relieving frustration. He studied the cogitator panels.
Are you still alive, Streifson?
Ah, his current, if begrudging, master's voice, growling across the comm frequencies. Lucas smirked.
Did you doubt me, Lord Grimblood?
Always and at length. Have you succeeded?
Kjarl Grimblood, the Firewolf, lord and commander of one of the 12 great companies of the Space Wolves chapter. Last cycle, Bran Redmore had been the unlucky recipient of the Jackal Wolf's leash. Lucas's services were passed from company to company on an almost insultingly regular basis, as if he were equal parts burden and responsibility. It was not his fault that the Wolf Lords were more lord than wolf, and inclined to their dignity overmuch. Just as it was not his fault that they took his harmless jest so seriously.
Has your famed foresight deserted you, Grimblood? Would we be speaking now if I hadn't succeeded?
Grimblood snarled with impatience, and Lucas grinned. The Firewolf burned hot, and it took only the littlest bit of fuel to renew the blaze. A jest here, a bit of bloat-toed venom there. It all added up. His brothers thought him a fool, an annoyance at best, a threat to their sanity at worst. But provocation was an art, and Lucas, an artist. Like all artists, he took pride in his work. That they did not understand only proved the validity of it. He counted the seconds, letting Grimblood's impatience build. Then, just as the Wolf Lord was about to speak, he replied.
Yes, Grimblood, I've reached the central control chamber. But I won't be able to hold it, not by myself.
You don't have to. Destroy it and the communications grid with it. I want that planet dark when we arrive, Stryfson.
Lucas removed his helmet and set it aside, eager to taste something other than recycled air. His senses stretched. He could smell burnt metal and spoiled meat, and he could hear more than just alarms. Grimblood's pack was loping across the void towards Pollux Tertius, even now. They would arrive in 3 hours, by his estimate. Already, the company's gunships were dueling with orc vessels in the upper stratosphere to ensure a safe insertion window for the ground assault.
Oh. That doesn't seem very entertaining. But that is probably the point, yes?
What was that?
Nothing. It will take some time.
Lucas had been sent ahead of the great company, ostensibly to take the Vox relay and prevent the orcs from organizing any sort of unified defense. In reality, his mission was a punishment. The Stormfangs could have easily destroyed the station from a safe distance. But this way, Lucas would remain on the station until someone bothered to retrieve him. Most likely, after all of the glory was won and the fighting ended. Grimblood certainly knew how to hold a grudge, and a baseless one at that. Dosing the Wolf Lord's Mjod with Grinweed had been a harmless prank, nothing more. But, as his name implied, Grimblood lacked even the barest micron of a sense of humor. Lucas sealed the control chamber. The bulkhead locked into place with a grinding hiss. He gave it a knock and, satisfied, turned back to the Vox systems.
You have a plasma pistol. Use it.
As you say, my lord, but my pistol is still recharging.
He ran his hands over the cogitator panels, tweaking the frequencies rising up from the planet's surface. A squall of feedback caused him to wince. Orc voices snapped into focus, accompanied by a distortion echo. Their voices were like rocks in a steel drum, or hot mud poured over broken glass. Nasty, but distinctive. He was familiar with the orc tongue, enough to understand their insults and reply in kind. That was all their language was, really. Insults. It was crude and unsubtle, but potent.
One, two, three.
He twisted the controls, isolating the voices. There were as many dialects as there were clans. He didn't recognize these, though it made little difference. The root logographic system was the same, whatever the permutation. A fourth signal intruded.
And you make four. Interesting.
He activated the hololith set above the Vox system and studied it. The flickering image showed that Pollux Tertius was divided into four quadrants, and the Orc Warg had splintered accordingly. He listened to the relayed frequencies, scanning back and forth, noting the corresponding areas on the map. The Orcs were using the Vox relay station to bounce their own primitive signals. They would already be spoiling for a fight. They were always spoiling for a fight. Lucas took note of the names that cropped up with something approaching regularity. Those would be the ones in charge. An idea began to take shape, and he chuckled.
I heard that! Stop wasting time and do as I ordered, Stripeson!
I fully intend to fulfill my mission objectives.
He began to isolate and modulate certain signals. While his understanding of such technologies was limited, he'd picked up a few tricks from obliging engine seers and Lex mechanics in his time. He smiled, remembering one lass and the way she had paled when he bared his fangs at her.
The mission is... Wait. Are you smiling?
No.
You're smiling. I can hear you smiling.
I am merely pleased at the thought of slaughtering Xenos Phil.
Grimblood growled.
Are you laughing at me, Chuckle Wolf?
I laugh with you, Wolflord, at the thought of the carnage we shall unleash upon these creatures. We shall rip and tear them and leave not one intact.
You're laughing at me? Those are my words you spit back at me like poison.
Are they? Perhaps. You use so many words, it's impossible not to borrow a few.
You know damn well those were my exact words to you. What are you up to?
Lucas didn't answer. He was opening a general communications channel to broadcast across all frequencies. He cleared his throat. It was best to start small and build on the response. The art of provocation was one of Leia's.
Boss Snicktooth says Og Orst Snot Zog Skab.
He racked his brain for the words as he went. It didn't have to be right, just close. Orc language was a thing of approximation more than precision.
What did you call me?
Not you.
Lucas winced as the channel crackled with a blistering response. Queries, mostly. A few insults. Quicker than he'd expected, but that was good. He cycled through the channels and picked another name at random. An isolated frequency this time.
Nifskar says Sneak Tooth Og Naf Grot Og Naf Boss.
The insults were childish, but those were the best kind. He cycled again. Another general broadcast.
Bonkya Og Gutsgrim Zog.
That one got the best reaction. So he repeated it several times across several isolated frequencies to ensure maximum reach.
Bokya Og Gutsgrim Zod! Bokya Og Gutsgrim Zod!
What are you up to? This isn't the time for your usual mischief, Bloodclaw!
Lucas's smile bent into a frown as the Wolf Lord emphasized his rank. Grimblood liked to remind Lucas of his lack of advancement. He thought of it as a punishment, and perhaps it was. Lucas, however, had found freedom of a sort. Little was expected of him, and he made the most of it. What more could any true son of Russ ask for than the freedom to run as he wished? But that didn't stop the constant reminders of his status from being irksome.
You sound just like your mother, Wolflord.
What?
Or was it your sister? I get them confused.
It was dangerous to prod in such a fashion, but he couldn't help himself. There was an element of truth in the jibe, however small. He'd shared many beds and had many acquaintances prior to enduring the procedures and rituals of becoming a Space Marine. It was entirely possible that he'd known Grimblood's kin in his past life. Even better, the Wolf Lord knew it.
I must have misheard you.
Do you even have a sister? Am I thinking of someone else?
So pleased was Lucas with this game, he almost missed the sound of the not-quite-dead orc rising up behind him. The smell of Xenos' blood washed over him, and he turned at the last moment. A wide blade with a jagged edge slashed down, shearing away one of his braids. He snatched up his helmet and smashed the orc across the jaw with it.
Quite a trick. It will be your last.
He thought he'd killed the creature, but orcs were nothing if not durable. The greenskin had recovered its wits after Lucas had felled it, while he had been distracted. Dark blood stained its torso and arms. Its skull was cracked, but it had plenty of fight left in it. It hacked at him, and he was forced to roll aside. He slugged it, rocking it on its heels.
Is that all you've got?
The orc grunted, trying to focus on him.
What was that? What's happening?
The blade came down again, splitting a panel as Lucas stepped aside. Sparks sprayed up to cascade across the floor. Lucas drove the creature back with a sweep of his wolf claw.
You seem to be having a bit of trouble, my green-skinned adversary. Perhaps I should just wait here until you keel over.
The wounded orc reeled, eyes bulging in rage. He wondered if it could understand him. He hoped so. It bellowed again and lunged. Its momentum drove him back against the cogitator bank. He swatted its blade aside, embedding it in the hololith projector, which gave a whine of protest and fizzled into darkness.
Stimson, report! What are you playing at?
The orc's bloodied head came down against his with a solid crack. Lucas snapped, dazed. It was like being punched in the skull by an ice bear. Stunned, he couldn't stop it from catching him in a powerful grapple. His lightning claw was pinned to his side, and he couldn't draw his plasma pistol. The orc roared at him, spattering his hair and beard with reeking saliva and blood. He heard the ceramite plates of his armor creak.
Well, what now? Going to yell me to death?
Shackle, wolf! Answer me, damn you!
Lucas struggled to free himself, but lacked the leverage. The orc was big and strong. Strong enough to lift a power-armored warrior up off the ground and hold him there.
Stripeshead, what's going on? Report!
Nothing, it's all fine. Just give me a moment.
Lucas's head snapped down, meeting the orc's rounded cranium. There was a sound like two stones colliding, and Lucas's world spun. He blinked blood out of his eyes and did it again. Two could play this game. The orc staggered back, gurgling. A third time, and its weakened skull gave way completely with a wet crack. Still, it refused to release him, but its grip had slackened noticeably. Lucas activated the lightning claw and twisted, driving the talons into the orc's side. The greenskin screamed in pain, and suddenly, Lucas was free. He swept the claw out and silenced the Xenos for good.
What's going on? I demand you answer me!
Lucas swayed and shook his head. He kicked the orc.
That's for having such a hard head.
He stumbled back to the comm panel. Despite the blade embedded in it, the Voxcaster was still functioning. He leaned over it, broadcasting across all frequencies.
Look up, Wizardregdur Og Scum. Urznosa!
The Vox crackled with orcish voices, bellowing contradicting orders. He recognized the words for attack and kill among them. The entire relay station shuddered. Proximity alarms sounded. Lucas laughed, but it sounded more like a snarl. As he'd hoped, he'd set something in motion. He tapped at the shattered holonet, trying to get it to work as Grimblood raged on the other end of the link.
What have you done? The Stormfangs are reporting that the Greenskins are turning against one another.
I interrupted enemy communications prior to an assault. Fairly standard.
Frequencies crackled. A channel went dead, abruptly. Then another. He heard the boom of a weapon somewhere close by. Some of the orcs aboard the relay station had obviously heard his last broadcast and taken it to heart. Greenskins were always spoiling for a fight, and he'd given them an excuse. It was happening quicker than he'd expected, but then that was orcs for you. Always full of surprises. He kicked the body of the orc he'd just killed again, just to make sure.
You've set them at each other's throats! I wanted them blind and deaf, not at war!
Grimblood sounded angry. Good.
Consider it my gift to you.
If they exterminate each other before we arrive, I'm holding you personally responsible, trickster!
All credit for the victory goes to you, my lord.
It's not a victory if they kill each other before I can do it!
Lucas smiled.
Oh no. Better hurry then.
This is not a worthy deed, Stripeson, you...
You're the one who can see the future, Grimblood. It's not my fault if your flames of portent didn't warn you of this.
Grimblood roared, causing a signal to crackle with static.
Stop smiling! I can hear you smiling!
Never.
Lucas closed the link. He could almost hear Grimblood's howl of rage, and his smile widened in satisfaction. He looked down at one of the dead orcs.
Not that he'll learn. They never do. I suppose it wouldn't be as much fun if they did.
He stepped back and fired his pistol, melting the cogitators to slag. He heard the thud of hobnailed boots and the bellicose cries of greenskins closing in on the control chamber. He scraped the air with his wolf claw, leaving contrails of hazy energy in its wake. He wondered how many of them he could kill before Grimblood arrived. Enough to feed the fires of the Wolf Lord's wrath, but not so many as to make it blaze out of control. That would come later, when Lucas reminded him of the glories lost and victories snatched from his grasp by his own hand. In a song, perhaps. It would take time to compose it, but he had plenty of that. What with the orcs mostly busy killing each other. Provocation was an art, and all great art took time.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.